Welcome to SecuPeaks, Jeff.
Thanks, Sasha. It's nice to be here.
Do you have a morning ritual? What is it?
Yes, my morning ritual is a deep, dark cup of over-caffeinated coffee. That's my morning ritual. I get asked that question often. I do not get up, practice yoga, or meditate. And the reason for that is that I got into this business of spirituality. I got into the crazy path of spirituality because I was hurting and I wanted some healing. And the healing came into full focus about, geez, at this point, it was 12 years ago. And after that, after the medicine did its trick, I no longer had use of the medicine. So to this day, sure, maybe I will meditate. Maybe I will practice some yoga with my wife. But in the morning, do I have a routine that sort of like sets my base? Not really. I try not. I do have coffee in the morning. I try not to like be on the phone first thing in the morning. I do like to go on the back porch and sit and just listen to the birds. And maybe that could be construed as some sort of meditation, but it's not really formal.
What is the most important decision you made in your life?
Oh, that's a really powerful question there. Give me a second. I want to let this one sink deep way in because it has to do with being fully present here in this life. And it has to do with being happy and in your heart, because if you aren't those things, the rest of the decisions that you make, the rest of the decisions that I have ever made didn't mean anything. The decision to, you know, to get a better job or a bigger car or, even a girlfriend or spouse, the decision follow my heart and to really see it through, the decision to say, to have the courage, say, something is missing and I want to find out what it is that is missing. That was the most important decision of my life, was when I said yes to the invitation of evolution. When I said, yes, something is not right here and I want to change it and I will, it seems to me you're pushing me in that direction and okay, I'm open, let's do this thing. When I said yes to that, mountains moved and rivers, you know, do something else profound.
What is the best constructive guidance you've received from another human being?
Oh, geez, you're just nailing these awesome questions. I still love it. Boy, best constructive guidance. I sat with so many teachers over the years and hung out with so many cool authors of spirituality. And Linda said to me, why are you sitting there in that sofa with that shit-eating grin on your face? Get down off the sofa, get down here on the floor with the rest of us, and be real, because you're not being real, Jeff. You're not being real. And that was great advice. She took a chance. She took a chance of making me mad, of insulting me, of hurting me. But it was something that I needed at the time. And there was immense value in her taking a loving swat at my limitations and my head and my ego. And my best had a little bit of lion, had a little bit of Harley Davidson in them. All my best teachers, all my best coaches who inspired me, they weren't there coddling me. They were there with their hands on my back at the edge of a cliff pushing me. And that's the best advice you can get from a good teacher.
Jeff, do you have any hidden talent? What are they?
Yeah, I'm a damn good fly fisherman. I've been fly fishing for 10 years. There's actually a chapter in the book where I take you, the reader, fly fishing, and we go through the ups and downs of the process. We go to a river and we explore some dangerous things at the river and some beautiful, peaceful things at the river. So I've been fly fishing for a long, long time. I love it. It's the way that I really instantly get into my zen zone, being out in nature, wading in the river, the body art of being present in the body is what one needs to do in order to cast correctly and walk at the same time. I just love fly fishing.
What is the biggest mistake misconception about you?
What is the biggest misconception? I think that the word, you know, we talked about this before, nirvana and enlightenment and all the big highfalutin words that come with the spiritual vernacular and baggage, where the biggest misconception is that they're presuming that I'm teaching these things, that I am also that, some sort of, you know, rarefied soul. Yeah, and I don't like that at all. That kind of like gets to me. It's not so much anymore, because I think I'm pretty, with Spirituality for Badasses, I've let the genie out of the bottle in terms of, you know, spilling my beans about all the flaws that I have and all the, you know, all my shadow. So it doesn't happen as much anymore, but it sort of used to. If you've ever taught, or if you're in the self-help business or whatnot, you get a lot of projected idealism onto you as the teacher or coach or author, and so that happens quite a bit. Not, you know, there did happen quite a bit.
When the heart and mind don't agree, what do you do?
The heart always wins. That's a no-brainer. The heart always wins. When the heart and mind don't agree, so the whole process, Spirituality for Badasses, the whole spiritual process, I think that is the authentic process, is where one goes through a switch. The heart and mind switch seat. Usually, before the spiritual process and path, the mind is in the pilot seat, and heart is in the co-pilot seat. And then you go through the spiritual process and path, and they switch. The heart becomes the pilot. The mind becomes the co-pilot. And when they don't agree, in my own case, each has an equal part. They're just in a different position. Heart does usually win out in my life. Although I will say this, there have definitely been times, you know, pre or post spiritual development and growth, where, you know, there's going to be times when mind wins out, and sometimes that's okay, and sometimes it's not. It's not really a black and white situation that all the things that you have in your mind are bad. They're not at all. You need the mind in order to function and navigate and drive and pay the bills, etc. But ultimately, I think your question points to the bigger questions of life, and when there's a bigger, more overarching theme or question or idea, and that's the realm of the heart. And under most circumstances, the heart has the answer.
What is your favorite comfort food?
So my wife is from Austria, and she cooked really, really good baked items, like cake in particular. And she has some torte, how do you say that? Don't really know, that are just absolutely amazing. So that, combined with good, strong cup of black coffee, that's comforting right there. It's probably not, at my age, not so good for my cholesterol levels, but it's still comforting.
Jeff, you're a writer, coach, and entrepreneur. Do you have any pet peeves?
Yeah, sure. I'll share one very, very small, sort of insignificant pet peeve. Very often, my book cover gets compared to Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas by Hunter S. Thompson, which is a book written 50 years ago. And the only significant similarity is the fact that both of the covers have sunglasses on the front. Mine are absolutely clear, perfectly, you know, balanced Ray-Ban sunglasses. The cover of his, the sunglasses are all distorted and really tell the, you know, the difference in the sunglasses sort of tells the differences in the book. His is about a drug-addled adventure to Las Vegas, and mine is an adventure that's a spiritual addled. So, yeah, that kind of irks me. I think it's more my issue, because I just don't really like Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. My book is not literature. It was never meant to be literature. So when you compare my book to that, it's like I wasn't even out to be a beatnik writer literature guy. I just wrote a self-help book, and it's got a few curse words in it, and I put some sunglasses on the front of it. So whatever. So there you go. There's my pet peeve.
Jeff, what is the last thing you do before calling it a day?
So usually I watch TV at night for an hour or so, starting at about, 8:30, 9 o'clock. I like doing that. I like to watch sci-fi. I'm a big sci-fi fan, and there's plenty of it on Netflix. And then I go to bed early, earlier than my wife and son. So I kiss them goodnight, and I brush my teeth, and I go crawl into bed, and I get unconscious.
Are there any initiatives or social causes you support?
I will say this. I definitely vote. I believe all citizens should vote to have their voice heard. And even if you think that it's the smallest token thing that you can do, then do it. I am a big, I'm a big believer that is the right thing to do as a citizen of the country. So aside from that, do I donate money? Do I give to charities, things like that? Every once in a blue moon, yes, I do. I do contribute. This is more of a business thing that I gave money to. There's a lawsuit going on that has to do with Amazon Audible. This pertains to more authors. And they're just a big, huge, Audible's a big, huge monopoly that is ripping off authors. And so I gave some money to that. And I give money to, there is another thing, I give money to, can't remember the name of it right now, but it's goes to preserving rivers, because I'm a fly fisherman. So it goes to preserving the natural environment and removing dams and making rivers cleaner and renewable resources for fishermen. So that's a cause that I give to all the time, actually. I don't know why I hadn't thought of that in the beginning.
And Jeff, what do you do, and where can people contact you?
You can contact me at spiritualityforbadasses.com. That's my website. If you want to find out about the book, Spirituality for Badasses, it's on Amazon. And did you ask what do I do? Is that correct?
Yes, for audience members who are not completely familiar with a few of your profession.
Sure. So professionally, for the last 15 years, I've owned an audiovisual integration supply and design company in Charlottesville, Virginia, and that I just recently became a silent partner in to pursue my work as a author and coach full time. And that's been awesome. That was and still is an ongoing and big transition. And so I now, been a month now, have been a full-time writer and publishing company, which is a big, I'm a self-published, which is a big part of the, marketing and PR, and then coaching individuals to find their own inner spiritual badass.
Jeff, thank you for sharing your professional and philosophical insights on Executive Peace.
Happy to do so, Sasha.